Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, as you've heard Jess read. And our theme this morning, a very important theme based on the word that the Lord has preached to us. Jesus teaches, people listen, and they are amazed. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Jesus has come into the world. He has come to a place called Capernaum. And he comes to a place that is natural for him, a place where he is to proclaim his word, a place where he comes to proclaim himself, for he is the word. Is it any wonder that as Jesus is teaching, he's teaching like any other man? The text tells us this morning that he does come to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. Two words here that are important for us, the word taught and the word doctrine. Now, the words that I just read are actually the rough translation from the original language, the Greek. And the word teach in Scripture is very important for us. When you hear the word teach in Scripture, it always applies to the correct preaching and teaching of God's Word. So therefore, Jesus is preaching and teaching correctly from His Word. In other words, Jesus has opened the Scriptures. And what he has opened is the Old Testament Scriptures, and Jesus is actually preaching from them. What a wonder! It's amazing that he would do this. For you see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they would not do this. The rabbis, they would not do this. Oh, they would have the scroll in front of them. But what would they teach? They would not teach the didache. Didache is the second important word. Didache is the word from where we get the word doctrine. Doctrine is the word of God. This, dear ones, is doctrine. Jesus preaches them from his doctrine, from his word. When anyone says that we don't need doctrine anymore, they're actually telling us they don't need this book anymore. They know more than God. Amazing. That's amazing to me. How do they get this knowledge? Well, it's from a spirit, but it's probably not from the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about that in a second. No, dear friends, we preachers are commanded. We have the authority, and these seminarians will soon have the same. They are commanded, and they have the authority to preach doctrine, to preach the word in season and out of season, to preach it in its full effect. It's law telling you that you are a lost and condemned creature, that you cannot save yourself. And the same goes for me and for them. That we break his commandments daily and much. And that we are in open rebellion towards God because of our sin. Yet that's the bad side of the coin, if you will. Let's flip over the good side of the coin, and the other part of doctrine is the Holy Gospel. And this is what this book teaches us. It teaches us that Jesus is the Redeemer, just as you've heard with our children this morning, that Jesus does have all power and authority, and by his power and authority, he went to his cross. And we'll talk more about that also in a second. It's interesting that Jesus wasn't preaching like the scribes, like the rabbis. You see, the scribes and the rabbis, they did not teach the Scriptures. So you may ask yourself, well, then why were they standing there? What were they doing? Oh, they were preaching all right, and it was all law, law, law all the time. And it wasn't the Torah that they were preaching. They were preaching their own rabbinical law, all 683 laws. And they were telling the people, you have to keep these laws or else. You have to keep these rabbinical laws just like we do. We Pharisees, we're the ones who are set apart. and we can keep the law. And you can be just like us if you keep the law. Or they would preach about what this rabbi said or what that rabbi did. And none of that, dear ones, is salvific. They preached about the scriptures sometimes, but they did not preach the scriptures almost never. So how does this apply to us today? Today, a lot of people think that this is just another book. It's often neglected, that's true. It's a showpiece, or it's a paperweight. It's rarely opened. So here's the questions that I have for all of you. Do you read this book more than the newspaper? Do you read doctrine more than you read your email or your text messages? Do you read your Bible more often than the junk that you read on the internet? Something for us to consider, to prayerfully consider. Dear ones, this book is doctrine, and doctrine is life. So Jesus preaches and he teaches, and then there's an objection. A man who is possessed by a demon, and there was in their synagogue a person with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out in a loud voice, he came out of him. You know, actually in the Greek, the verb that is used isn't a man, it's a person. It doesn't tell us if it was actually a man or if it was a woman. It says that it's a person. And if you stop and think about it, that's what the devil uses. He uses persons to proclaim his lies. But it's probably a man. More than likely it would be a man, considering where Jesus was at the time in the Jewish synagogue. And this man, this person, had been there all along. That's what the text implies to us. He has always been there. He's been hearing the preaching of the rabbis. Why didn't he object then? What was the problem? Well, the problem was that the rabbis weren't preaching from the Word. And Satan has no problem with that. If someone would get up here in this pulpit and preach to you other than the Word, Satan would relish in that. He would enjoy that because you're hearing a word that would not save you. You see, again, this is doctrine and this is life. And Satan doesn't want you to hear doctrine, nor does he want you to have life. So the demon never objected to this false teaching of the rabbis. But then comes Jesus. And Jesus preaches the truth. Jesus preaches the word. So the demon cries out, essentially saying, "You must get out of here and stop your preaching. You must not preach the truth to these people." Satan does not want you, dear ones, to hear the truth of God's word. Oh, it's okay for a man and woman to stand up and preach about themselves, or to preach about a book that someone else has written, or to preach about what this person's done or what that person's done, and not a word of that, not a word of it is salvific. Not a word of that will ever, ever save you. Because usually what they're preaching about is not this. They're preaching other than anything other than this, and that is not salvific. You see, Satan doesn't want you to hear the truth. So the demon cries out, and his cry is actually a cry of fear. He knows perfectly well who Jesus is. He says it himself. "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Therefore, the people must know that this is the Messiah, that this man preaching is the Savior. The demon's confessing it, And if you think that, you're believing a lie. Because what the demon is pointing out is that this Holy One of God has come to destroy. It's here in the text. Have you come to destroy us? Just as you heard with the children. Jesus didn't come to destroy you. He didn't come to destroy the people there in Capernaum, in the synagogue on that blessed Sabbath morning. Jesus was telling them, I'm sure, that he had come to seek and to save the lost. He had come into this world to bear the sins of the world, to bear your sin and all of my horrible sins. He came to be sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us for your salvation. That's what Jesus came to do. He did not come to destroy. So actually what this demon is confessing sounds like the truth. And that's where Satan gets you. He makes it sound like it's the truth, but it's really a lie. Because the foundation is built not on the Word of God, but the foundation is built on the lies of Satan. You see, it's no different than the day, dear ones. There are many people who are preaching even today that you don't need to read this book. You don't need to know this book. Why, I'll tell you everything you need to know. And then they get up and they don't even preach from this book. Or they tell you that the teachings of this book are too difficult, that they are oppressive, that they are bigoted, that the teachings of this book are evil, that it is of no use to mankind. You can just put it away and use it as a paperweight. Read your newspaper. Read your email. Read the internet. No, this doctrine must be rejected. This book must be suppressed. It must never, ever be taught. And we see this happening in church all across the world. The Word of God is not preached in its truth and in its purity. Other things are taught. Other things other than Jesus and Him. Him crucified. But Jesus proves His power and authority. He rebukes the demon, and he bids him to hold his peace, to be muzzled, and to come out of the man. And since Jesus has all power and absolute authority over all creatures, including Satan and the evil demons, this demon must listen. And he convulses the man. He kind of throws him into an epileptic fit. It seems like the man's going to die, but you must remember, dear ones, standing there is the Lord of life. And the Lord of life will not allow a demon to destroy you. The cross tells us this. He will not allow Satan to have his way with you. He has defeated him here at the cross. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," exactly right. That's the truth. It is finished. Satan no longer has power and authority in this world. Jesus has taken it back, for he is the Lord of this world. And you and I and our dear brothers here belong to him. So Jesus teaches, and the people are amazed. As a matter of fact, we could say that they were thunderstruck. They had never ever seen anything like this before. And this man is a Galilean. He's from Nazareth. How did he get this power? Where is this coming from? And this is the effects of our Lord's miracles. Immediately after his teaching, he made a very, very deep impression upon these people. Did you notice that Jesus never told them that he's the Messiah? All through the scriptures, all through the gospels, Jesus never proclaims to the people that he is the Messiah. He wants the people to confess this themselves. By what he has done, and by what he preaches, and what he teaches, and by his miracles. Jesus shows the people that he is the Messiah. Jesus doesn't need to talk the talk because he's walking the walk. He shows us that he is the Lord. He is the Lord of life, and he is your salvation. You see, it is only Jesus, dear ones, who has saved you from the effects of sin, death, and the power of the devil. No one else would dare do this. It was only Jesus. He is the only one who was willing to allow himself to be flayed open by Roman whips. He was the only one who allowed himself to be crowned with cruel thorns. He was the only man who allowed himself to be nailed to a cross naked upon a tree. And he did this for you and for me. The one, yes, who knew no sin became sin for you for your salvation. And this is what the church is to teach and to preach. And this is what a pastor and pastors to be have the authority to preach and to teach. We are not to stand here and preach other things or anything else other than Jesus and Him crucified. Because everything else other than Him crucified is of no benefit for you. So, dear ones, as you become more and more grounded in His Word, as your faith will continually be strengthened as you hear the preaching of Jesus and Him crucified, it's important for you to open this book. It's important for you to study this book. It's important for you at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning to be over in the parish hall. As we take this book, as we take it and open it, and we get down into the weeds, and we look at exactly what Jesus is preaching and teaching. And parents, when you bring your children to Sunday school, don't go back home. Have on your Sunday best. Drop your children off here at Sunday school and walk through the breezeway and have a seat and be amazed, just like the people in Capernaum were amazed at the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ, their Lord and your Lord. So, dear ones, I leave you with this. As you hear the truth, as you hear doctrine, as you hear the preached word, know that what you hear from this book is the truth. For Jesus is your way, and He is your truth, and He is your life. This is life, and it must always be proclaimed from this pulpit. And it will always be proclaimed from this pulpit as long as I'm here. For I am not ashamed of the preaching of Jesus Christ, and I am not ashamed of Him crucified for your sin and for my sin. For He is the Redeemer. He is the Messiah. And in His preaching and teaching, we listen and we hear in amazement that all of our sins are forgiven. Forgiven by the One who came to seek and to save you. And that's exactly what He's done. Forgiven of all of your sins, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.